RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Victory Monday by the thinnest of margins. Welcome aboard. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Don't miss us there. Lots to get to today. Great Sunday across the NFL. Tons of action. Tons of playoff implications. Patrick Mahomes, high ankle sprain, not broken, but he is week to week. Appears to be the word out of Kansas City. We'll, of course, monitor that, let you know if there's anything you need to know. Because they got two high-profile games here in the next 2 weeks, including that Christmas Day game against the Steelers, which could have some implications on who gets the bye there. Because remember, Buffalo's got the tiebreaker on them going forward. So if they lose a couple, right, they're 13-1, they got the inside track. But if they lose a couple, things could get very interesting out there. We, of course, are going to spend time in VCU basketball land. VCU basketball, big win over Colorado State on Saturday out in Henderson in what was the most depressing broadcast in one of the more depressing stadiums of all time. I hope somebody made money, I guess. I don't know why anybody did that, agree to that, right? You know, the billing was, it's VCU in Vegas, and, you know, you think about all the, you know, glitz and glamour in the strip, and they're at a stadium named after a discount liquor store 30 minutes away from Vegas. Nobody's there. The people who were there, I'm just going to give the props where they're due here. The people who were there were Ram Nation. Colorado State played VCU in Las Vegas, and it was absolutely a pro VCU crowd, which you love to see. As much as I've been right, and it's an issue, attendance is an issue. It hadn't quite been good enough recently compared to what it has been. Student attendance, I think, is a big issue. You got to get the students engaged. They're your future customers. They're your future donors, right? It's really important to get them engaged. The people at the top of the pyramid, though, the people who love VCU basketball, man, they are in it, and they are in it as hard as ever, and they are difference makers. They were almost difference makers down in Charleston, and I think they were difference makers on Saturday. Saturday night at the Lee's Liquor Discount Forum. It's the Lee's Family Forum, but the family owns a chain of discount liquor stores out in Nevada. We kid, but it was a really nice win, and the word of the day there is going to be poise when we get to VCU, showing a little bit of poise, which was missing in Charleston, and that's what you're going to need in the A-10. We've got one more full week with you. We'll be here Monday before we shut things down for the holiday, but you know, when we talk to you on the other side, they're going to be in the thick of the most important stretch of their schedule, St. Bonaventure and Loyola Chicago, right out of the gate in the A-10, and a little poise is going to go a long way. Loved to see the way they finished that game, and of course another big one coming on Wednesday where they're in New Mexico, so we'll keep an eye on all that for you. But we start with Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders by the thinnest of margins. First off, kicker number 7, probably coming around this week. I don't know. I guess it'll go back to kicker number 5. Obviously, everybody's going to want to talk about the kicking situation. Lots to talk about there. One, and this is one of my favorite things to say on this show, so you can roll your eyes if you want. The refs were bad, but they weren't biased. The refs were terrible, but they were terrible both ways. It was a poorly officiated game with a lot of bad calls. No decision worse than the referee choosing to stop the clock with 9 seconds remaining and it running, and it absolutely should not have been stopped. If that had been the difference in the game, you would have heard a lot of sound and a lot of fury here this morning, because that's unacceptable. That's an unacceptable officiating mistake to stop the clock in an instance where there was no confusion about whether the clock should have been stopped or not. It was a pass caught in bounds. Clock runs on that. This isn't college. They don't stop it on first downs. And that was nearly the difference in the game. Now, I don't think the clock stopped for more than 3 seconds. It was close. I think it stopped for about 2 seconds and then picked back up. So I don't think it was the difference between them getting that last touchdown, them not getting that last touchdown. Obviously, the two-point conversion goes wide. By the way, we'll get to other stuff in a second here. How good was that pass on the two-point conversion? That was a dime by Spencer Rattler on the two-point conversion. Hit his guy in the hands on a tough route where they had really good coverage. That scary, scary good throw there. Saints very much could have walked away the victors. They do not. Instead, the Commanders are the winners. We'll get to the minutia. There's a lot of minutia. We got 2 hours together. Jaden Daniels was off at times. Terry McLaurin was on at all times. Couple better throws there, and that's a 4-touchdown game for Terry McLaurin. We talk about who's going to fill in for Noah Brown. Who's going to step up now that Noah Brown's out? Will it be Luke McCaffrey? Will it be Deami Brown? Will it be Olamide Zaccheaus? And we saw some Brown, and we saw some Zaccheaus, and we saw some nice catches, including one that was negated by holding there on that field goal drive late. But what we really saw was just Terry McLaurin being a dude. And the stats don't fully reflect that. But Terry McLaurin was a dude yesterday. Terry McLaurin was dominant. He wanted the ball. He was making big catches and a couple slightly better throws from Jaden Daniels. And it's absolutely a 4-touchdown day for Terry McLaurin, which is just super cool for him. To see the star he's become and the way the rest of the league is coming around on acknowledging that and giving Terry his flowers, which are very well-deserved. Rough in-and-out day for Brian Robinson. Without Austin Eckler, things change back there. But player, most important player of the day, no question for me, the absence of Tyler Biadasz. We've talked about this so many times on this show. Biadasz is, in my opinion, one of the very big reasons this offensive line has taken a huge step forward this year. And one of the reasons they took a step backwards yesterday, Chase Young got his revenge game. Good for Chase Young. Won't waste too much time on that. Everybody got good yesterday on the Saints defensive line. That wasn't just a Chase Young thing. They were coming. They were bringing heat. They were doing quite well at it. It was an impressive showing by the whole defensive line. Obviously, the focus will be on Chase playing against his old team and showing him what they were missing out on to a large extent there. But that whole Saints defensive line was so good all day. Got Jayden Daniels rattled to an extent we hadn't seen. I told you we'd go big picture. The big picture here is this is now the second time they've played this season on long rest. They had the Thursday game, which of course gives you 10 days of rest going into the next one. And that was a dud of a game against the Dallas Cowboys. And now 2 weeks rest, a lot of optimism around this game with the Saints where you say, okay, teams generally play really well coming off the bye. They looked rusty. They did not look sharp. You throw in the opener, of course, where you play on extended rest after you throttle down training camp. They didn't look good against the Bucks in that game. It's three games now on extended rest where this team has not looked its sharpest. And that's enough to make a trend and make a pattern. Now, that's concerning. Here's the good news on that. The good news on that is they're not going to play on long rest again this season. If they make the playoffs, of course, they'll be in that wild card game the first weekend. So it's a regular rhythm here. Would expect we'll hear about the game in 2 weeks against the Falcons, probably on Tuesday. If we get that today, we'll pass it along. My guess would be we'll hear about that on Tuesday during the program. That's usually because the Falcons play tonight, so they'll want to let that sort itself out. See if Kirk Cousins gets right on Monday Night Football. We got one more significant game. Two more games. One more significant game on the schedule because it's the Monday Night Doubleheader. Bears-Vikings is the first one. Vikings have something to play for sure. They're still chasing the bye now in the NFC North and in the NFC. They're very much in that picture. But I think the far more interesting game is what happens to Kirk Cousins tonight. But big picture now, three times Washington's come off a short rest. Three times Washington has struggled with that. That's when you're supposed to play your best, and that's when you're supposed to be at your best. Obviously, that team that played yesterday isn't going to win any playoff games if they're able to get there. That team that played yesterday is going to struggle to beat the Falcons in 2 weeks and is going to struggle to beat the Cowboys in 3 weeks. Let's just call that what it is. There's a lot to clean up on. So I try to give equal time here. The officiating was bad both ways. The clock stoppage was obviously unacceptable. The kicking was bad, but on the whole, it was a lethargic performance from a team that had every reason to go down there and make a statement that they were back, that things were back. So we're at the point now where Victory Monday isn't going to be enough, right? We're at the point now where they're in the playoff chase, and you can say that was a little too close for comfort. Now, the thing that seems to be tripping them up, having extended time off, isn't going to happen again. We'll see what they do against the Eagles next week. That will be that's going to be a fascinating game. Jayden Daniels, he's regressed a little bit here. It regressed a little bit yesterday. If he throws it a little sharper on two of those to Terry McLaurin, I think that Terry's got a 4-touchdown day pretty easily. He had a couple where Terry could have walked in there with the right throw. Terry playing at an all-star level, though. Love what Terry McLaurin brought to the table yesterday. 3 for Diami, 3 for Olamide. That equals 6. That equals your Noah Brown production. And that was just enough to give Terry the spotlight. 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. His final line definitely could have been a lot more there. Did well on third downs. Certainly did a great job in third and long, which they were stuck in a lot. We talk about the importance of staying in front of the chains. They didn't stay in front of the chains at all. 9 for 17 on third down. So plenty of things to be happy about and plenty of things to go back to the drawing board on here in the short week. You take your win, you get to 9-5, you hold that playoff positioning. Those are all the things we talked about as being important here, right? These are the most important things this time of year. You gotta fight off the Rams, stay in that final playoff spot. Rams, of course, moved to 8-6. You gotta get that win. You do. 9-5. Now, two games up on the Rams, because remember, they've got the tiebreaker as well, if that tiebreaker is needed, if that tiebreaker comes around. We need to talk about the field goal decision. We will do that. Like I promised, we'll hear from VCU basketball after a very nice win out west. We'll do it all. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are worldwide on the free.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Odyssey app, Josh Allen. Getting pretty close to locking up that MVP award if he hasn't already. We'll dive into all that. Of course, a victory Monday for VCU as well. Nice win Saturday night. Tough one in the state title game for Verina. That was the other one you heard right here on 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. And of course, you may have heard it worldwide on the free Odyssey app with Gary and Coach Chris. Held their own. Verina was down 9-6 at halftime to Phoebus, but Phoebus won their 49th consecutive football game, and that is that's a lot. It was that was not the wildest play state title game of the weekend. There was a crazy one up at JMU where one of the teams scored to, you know, they were down 7, scored as time ran out, got a personal foul for excessive celebrating, moved the extra point back. They chose to go for 2 instead. They missed it. Refs inserting themselves into games. That's the thing we're talking about this weekend. It was certainly a thing at the Superdome yesterday. Commanders escape, though, with the 20-19 win. And I think the big thing everybody's, you know, say if the Saints had won, our number one topic today would have been, what happened to the clock with 9 seconds left when it stopped. That's the number one topic. But the number one topic from the Dan Quinn standpoint would have been, why'd you kick that field goal instead of punting and pinning the Saints deep? Because the Saints needed every last second of that clock. They were moving the ball effectively with Spencer Rattler. Jake Haener was bad. Spencer Rattler came in. He was gunslinging it a little bit, no doubt about it. Threw a beauty of a pass on that 2-point conversion for sure. But Rattler comes in. They drive down the field. Why not punt there? I've got DQ's back on this, but let's hear from the coach himself. First, this is Dan Quinn. After the game, you heard it on the Commanders radio network.
Another wild game. And so for us, come down and get one on the road, that's a big deal. And going in to have the time of possession, you know, that's when we play at our best, because now third downs are more manageable. And I thought emphasizing that, you know, coming out of our bye on both sides of the ball, or third down, that was going to be big. We knew we could find ways to improve upon that, and that was going to be big. I thought, you know, finishing the plus in the turnover margin, that's, you know, you've heard me talk about that. But in a game of missed opportunities, penalties and misplays, those can get frustrating, and lots to clean up onto those, and we will. But that's a little bit like December and January football, where it does get hard. And so to go all the way down to the end, to the last play, you've heard me talk about the fight of the group, and that's one of the things I really admire about our team. We've been in a lot of close games, and so we're getting battle hardened. It's not always, you know, comfortable to be in those spots, but being on the sideline right there at the end to go for it, that's why we do it. And so to come up with a win here on the road, that's a big deal, and take our next step. Yes.
How do you feel the team handled those?
You know, good and bad in some ones, honestly, Nikki, because it can even be some spaces where, like, I love, you know, the fourth down to convert. I thought that was a winning time moment. Obviously, you know, missing a kick, you know, to go up two scores, those are winning time moments. You know, we thought maybe we'd get a chance at the end of the half to get going on stuff. It didn't work. You know, those are ones that I always want to take a shot at. You're playing indoors. Can you, you know, take a shot at a long field goal if those come up? So I would say, you know, on the spectrum of that today, Nick, I'd say it was solid, but not to a level that we need to be.
And how difficult was the decision to kick the field goal? You're on the 36. There's a lot going on there.
It was. We thought for us it was it within the space to, you know, to kick. And so you make those decisions early enough to say, hey, if we're at the 38 and inside, you know, we'll kick it. And so that's, you know, where it was. So it wasn't a hard decision to go. You don't like the result of it, but it had plenty of stuff to go. So, you know, like going into it, that's why we ran it, you know, on the third down play, which I thought was a good call, where we got into space to give ourselves a chance to go up. So to miss it, you know, that's the consequence of a long one. But I didn't think of punting into that. Had we not gained yards on the run, then we would have been in punt. So that was, you know, we're clear about it. Hey, if we're at this part, we'll punt. If we're at this part, we'll go. And so that's the way I communicate with the coaches.
That was Dan Quinn, post-game for the Washington Commanders, and you heard the game right here, of course, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. I agree with Dan Quinn, by the way. You got a couple things going here. So Greg Joseph was your kicker du jour. That's the kicker of the day. Sounds great. I'll take two. He's the sixth kicker to roll through Washington this season. You need a kicker. And I said when they cut Brandon McManus earlier this year on the legal troubles, and obviously it stings to see McManus having success elsewhere. I don't think it makes it the wrong decision in the moment, but it certainly stings to see him back in the game. Now, I also think McManus is old and is not the long-term solution for anybody, right? He's going to Justin Tucker at some point. He's been in the game a long time. They need to find their kicker for the next 10 years, much like Tress Way has been their punter for the last 10 years. And Tress Way, the way he saved the hold on that 54-yard field goal was nice. He had a couple things. One was you almost missed the one at the end of the third quarter, got bailed out on that, and Saints coach Darren Rizzi was very unhappy about that the refs should have blown that dead when the clock expired instead of giving him a warm-up kick. Whatever, they switched ends. I don't know. Either way, got lucky for sure, because he missed that one, ends up making the second. But then the one 54 yards indoors, Greg Joseph, your kicker for the Washington Commanders this week. Indoors, as Dan Quinn pointed out a couple times, he's kind of, you know, he's very polite about that explanation, but very firm. They don't make this stuff up in the moment. We make it up in the moment as we go, ah, I think they should do this, I think they should do that. They've got a plan. When the drive starts, we will let him kick from fill in the blank and in. In an indoor environment, which is perfect for kicking, right? Climate control, none of this cold weather stuff. 54 yards is a fair distance to ask an NFL kicker to kick from. You got to find a kicker. They're on number six. The wheel's going to spin again tomorrow. And you got two guys who have been injured. I'm certainly, you know, aware of that. And obviously Austin Seibert's injury was, came at a particularly inopportune time. But you've got to find a guy, and Greg Joseph's not the guy. Cause you got to find a guy who can make a 54 yarder indoors. Guys are making those like chip shots these days. It's not what it used to be, where 50 is this magical number where kicks get bad. You see it across the league. Kickers are making from 50 plus in ideal conditions now. 60 is the new barrier, the new 50, and you need to figure these things out. I have no problems with them bringing in a kicker, bringing in another kicker, rotating it through. Where was I back at the beginning? I said when Brandon McManus came in, I say, you know, the kicking may cost them a game this year, but it's not make or break, you know, for the Super Bowl. It may have been make or break for the playoffs. I did not anticipate the stakes being this high, but it's not going to be make or break for the Super Bowl. But it will be, or it should be, or I hope it is in the next few years, because this is a team with legitimate Super Bowl aspirations with Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract. You got to find the guy, and you find the guy by letting him make kicks or miss kicks to find out he's not the guy. I got no problem with that. Obviously, that informed the third down play. If they were going to punt, they would have used the third down play to throw deep to Terry, you know, arm punt it instead of what they did, which was run it into field goal range. So the whole thing, you know, your hypothetical, oh, they should have punted. Okay, if they punt it, third down is different too, and it's an obvious punt on fourth. They knew what they were doing the whole time. You heard from Dan Quinn there, you know, winning moments, and it was a winning moment on that fourth and one, Jaden Daniels. I love this kid. You know, the tendency is going to have to break at some point. Anytime there's that mesh point and it's the option, handoff or keep, and it's fourth down, he keeps and he gets it. I love that so much. I love the fight in the kid. Now, they're going to start keying on him in those situations, but I love everything about him taking the ball into his hands. I want the ball. I want the first. And he sure seems like he gets it every time he has the opportunity for it. That's one of the positives to come out of this game. Of course, we'll have more positives when we do Commanders Rewind tomorrow, because there's always positives. There's always negatives as well. Not a ton of optimism going into this Eagles game this weekend, but I got a ton of optimism around the playoffs right now. I still think 10's going to be the number, especially if you're in a tie with the Rams. And they're at 9 right now, and Atlanta on the other side, and then Dallas. I think it's doable. I think this will be a playoff football team. I think they got some stuff to work on, though. I also think we need to talk about VCU basketball, because we've gone a little while now without doing that. So let's do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Grab the podcast MP on the mic wherever you get your podcasts, to catch up on everything you need to know about Commanders victory Monday, 20-19. Didn't come close to covering good teams win, great teams cover. This was a good team yesterday, good enough to win, good enough to make some plays early, get that buffer. 14-0 at halftime was huge. Had the ball with 2 minutes left in the first half. That's usually a situation they excel in. Didn't happen this time around. But those early plays are what they needed. Survive the Spencer Rattler experience down the stretch, and sitting pretty with 9 wins in the NFC playoff hunt. We'll dive back into that as the show goes on. Of course, we'll take you up to AWOD Radio at noon. He's live at Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. We will crosstalk with him at the appropriate time, of course. But it's not just Victory Monday for the Commanders, also Victory Monday for VCU basketball. Also Victory Monday for my guy Travis Hunter, who won the Heisman. I'll save it for AWOD to get fully into this. But I'll just share that the discourse has gone off the grid here. Travis Hunter won the Heisman over Ashton Jeanty, running back for Boise State. It was very close. And the reason it was very close is because they were both very good players. But here's what bothers me. This is Chris Vanini. He is the Athletics / New York Times senior college football writer. This was by far the most difficult Heisman vote I've ever had, with two generational players in a single year. All right, so the former newspaper guy, I mean, he's going to come out for a second here. Generational players come along once in a generation. You can't have two come along in a year. That's insane, because only one of them comes along in each generation. That's what makes them generational players. Number two, one of these guys was a generational player, just crazy good on two sides of the ball, right? And everyone said, oh, he's second coming of Deion. He's not. Deion was a good defensive back who played wide receiver as a gimmick in the NFL. Travis Hunter is legitimately good at wide receiver and legitimately good at being a defensive back. He is outstanding on both sides of the ball. He is generational. The other guy was a really good running back, and that is not to take anything away from Ashton Jeanty and the season he had. He is a very good running back. Good running backs come along every year, though. He's not generational. He was just the best running back of the year. In the same way that Saquon's season is not generational, if Josh Allen wins the MVP and Saquon's second, I'm not going to pitch a fit about that. I think Saquon's had an outstanding season, deserves the consideration for sure. But he's not, what he's doing is not generational. Ashton Jeanty having a great season for running back, not generational. Also, shout out to APR Antoine Pell Ryland and Jada Byers of Virginia Union for winning the Dudley and Lanier Awards over the weekend, as announced on CBS6. Make sure to check those boxes as well. Get them properly notified and congratulated, because Byers, first back-to-back winner of the Lanier, he's an insane running back on his own. Those numbers are eye-popping. A couple years over the 2K mark there, and APR's win is no surprise to anybody who followed his season. He just ate up opposing quarterbacks all year long. We want to get to VCU, though, who was out west Saturday night, Colorado State. And this was the opposite of everything Charleston was. Charleston was leads blown down the stretch. This was a tight game with 8 minutes to go, and then they pulled away, which you love to see. That's poise is the word of the day right there. Poise. An execution down the stretch. The veteran guys showing up to play when it matters. Joe Bam is still getting his shot right. And there's going to be a lot of game-to-game variation on Joe getting his shot right. But certainly that plus offensive rebounds is a really good formula. They got him a couple extra chances there. He was able to take advantage of those. Max Schulga continues to carry the load. I'm going to hesitate. I always say that's my A-10 player of the year. I think he's on track for it. Nice win by Dayton over Marquette, man. Dayton just quietly handles its business. They had that tough loss out in Maui where they were up 21. They got their chance to atone for it. They did. VCU had the tough loss in Maui atones for it against Colorado State. One more opportunity to put a good one on the board Wednesday in New Mexico. Robbie and Rodney were out there, of course, caught up with Ryan Odom after the game. Here is how that conversation went.
We were dead tired at the beginning. We were playing really slow. I'm not sure why, but we got out of the gates really slow and lethargic. And I thought the bench subbing in, you know, gave those guys a chance to come back, come to the side, sit down, get their breath, and then go back in. And I think everything kind of didn't necessarily settle in the first half, because it was a little bit disjointed from fouls and the technical and some of that. But, you know, for us to be up at half, you know, after how weird it was a positive sign. And then our guys just went from there.
I think it is a little tough to play in this type of environment. It's a beautiful arena. They've done a phenomenal job at trying to make it a live environment, but it was dead quiet in here. Do you think that played into a little bit in the slow start?
I think, you know, it's a little bit of elevation here, right? I mean, it's not what we're getting ready to face, you know, in New Mexico, but, like, it takes time to get used to that. And the first couple of trips up and down, it's like you've played plenty of times. Your first game, you know, of the season, when it gets tipped up and, like, the adrenaline going and you can't breathe after 2 minutes. I think it was some of that, but I'm really happy that we had I know we didn't have like 8,000 people in here, but the majority of them were our Rams, not the other Rams,
right?
And that's a really big thing. We really appreciate all those that showed up here you know, all the way out in Vegas for our game.
I feel like this is a recurring theme in our conversations in the post game, but it seemed like when we needed a basket or we needed to get some points or we needed a defensive play, Max Shulga came down and just really was able to provide us that. He found a way to be the point of emphasis when we needed him to.
Yeah, he got all the way down to the steal down there, steal down here. He made some really big defensive plays, you know, throughout the night. And Joe was great. You know, Joe had a great night. Phil was tremendous, you know, his defensive and just overall intensity. Zeb obviously had the foul trouble, you know, to deal with, but was able to finish the game for us in a really big way, firm, you know, played great.
How about Fats Billups? Gave us 13 important minutes. Came out. On the defensive end, too. I mean, he did knock down a couple shots, but he had a couple defensive plays where he came and doubled when he needed to.
Yeah, he did. Fats did a nice job. He was focused in scout and report, understood what the game plan was, did a nice job.
All right, bookmark the Fats Billups thing. I want to come back to that at some point because, as Fats understood the game plan is not the compliment I think it is at face value. That's it's a little bit of a, hey, when you pay attention in the meeting room, when you show up on time, hey, good things happen to you. And we'll hear from Fats if we have time. If not, we'll play the Fats clip tomorrow. We'll definitely hear from Fats Billups, because he checked in with Robbie and Rodney, and he talked about his renewed commitment to the team, and they need it, man. All hands on deck. These are important games, which are going to be followed by important games right after the holiday. So good to see VCU back on the right track, having some success there. Ryan Odom talking, he thought his guys were sleepy out of the gate. Yeah, man, I was sleepy too. It was on something called Ballers TV. You're out in the discount liquor forum out in Henderson, Nevada. Everything about this was sleepy, and they got an off day in Vegas yesterday. I hope they had a fun time seeing the city, because they sure didn't get to see it on Saturday. This wasn't the glitz, the glam, the hype, the Players Festival, the NIL, all that stuff. This was a sleepy crowd, and props to the VCU fans who made themselves felt, made their presence felt. I think gave the guys a little bit of a lift down the stretch for sure, but mostly props to Max Shulga, to the veterans, to Joe. It's going to take veteran play to carry this team in big A-10 moments, and they showed up in a big-time way. That leadership was there, and you know, after that sleepy start, they locked in. They got it going. They needed that the other night, too, two games ago, when things were sleepy then against, I'm blanking on who it was, Georgia Southern, I think it was. They were sleepy in that one, too, until they got woken up. You need your veteran players to carry you in those moments, and I think Max and them did, and great to see Fats come in, have an impact. He's a local fan favorite. I think that's what Zach Joachim wrote about him, local fan favorite. He is a Verina kid. Best thing to happen to Verina on Saturday for sure. They came up short against Phoebus in the state title game. But great to see Fats getting in there, and the coaches, you know, Coach Adam, very clear there, getting those minutes because he's putting in the work, which we love to see. Monday show rolls on. Victory Monday program. We are back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hempy on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Taking you up to 11 o'clock here. Want to get back to the Commanders. It's Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders, and I'm reevaluating the importance of this clock stoppage. Let's talk about that at 11 o'clock, if you want to stick around for a few minutes. I'm more mad about it the more I think about it. I'm also happier the more I think about VCU going out to Henderson, winning a very competitive basketball game. Poise, your word of the day there, I really think. So nice to see those veterans step up when it matters and know the importance of this game and the importance of what's happening. Loose ends to tie up here in studio too. Hazel graduated over the weekend. Big time congrats to Hazel. That's awesome, man. That is super cool. Got the diploma, got the degree. Gonna go change the world. Hazel, of course, has made this show sound better since taking over. And wish you the best with whatever comes next. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere, which is very important to me, obviously. You're not going anywhere, but not going anywhere as a college graduate. That's cool. Now, a little beef here, a little beef, because a lot of people are saying that you only graduated to take the shine off of me getting 40 under 40 by Style Weekly. That is a thing people are saying on the streets. I would never say anything like that. personally. It's just it's a rumor that's floating out there. You know how the internet is these days. Congrats to Hazel and congrats on graduating. And lots of good news. Lots of good news. VCU producing great graduates, winning at basketball. The Capitals have Alex Ovechkin practicing with the team again. This is a cool development here. I love to see Ovi come back ahead of the new year, maybe even potentially. Now they got that stretch of road games here, and it's a brutal stretch around the Christmas break, as it always is, as they try to play as many as they can before everybody gets home from, you know, while everybody's off on break, and they can sell a lot of tickets. So wouldn't surprise me if they're cautious with Ovi, but I'd be excited to get that Chase for the Record back on. Put him in a great position to maybe get it next year. Cleaning stuff up, Antoine Powell-Ryland won the Dudley APR over the weekend. Nice win for him, obviously. Jonas Sanker, UVA, was up there as well, as was Alonzo Barnett of JMU. Those were your three finalists. APR, though, wins the Dudley, well-deserved. Jada Byers of Virginia Union, your Lanier Award winner, back-to-back running back, who was certainly something special there at Virginia Union this year. Here's your discouraging college football news from the other side of things. Marshall withdrew from the Independence Bowl over the weekend. They were scheduled to play Army in the Independence Bowl. They won the Sun Belt this year. They say they have too many players in the transfer portal. They won't be able to field a team and compete. Now, they got Louisiana Tech to fill in for them, so the game will go on. They will still have a game to be played there. On the other hand, this is not a great sign for college sports. I expected we'd see something like this. I thought it was going to be on the higher end. I thought it was going to be a school like a South Carolina or a Tennessee, where it was, South Carolina or Alabama, right? We didn't make the playoffs, but on the other hand, everybody transferred. We're not into this. We're not feeling this. Instead, it's the Sun Belt champion that's not playing in a bowl game. That's not great, because that's one of the teams you'd think would be excited. But what you're realizing is the Sun Belt's running a AAA program right now. The Sun Belt is running is a minor league for the SEC. You go to the Sun Belt, you play well, you enter the portal, you go get your offer to play in the SEC, and that's what's discouraging here is it's not that Marshall doesn't want to play. It's that Marshall's kids are there to get out of Marshall. The kids at Marshall who are playing well, we won the Sun Belt title. That's awesome, man. I think Shane Beamer's going to call me and make me an offer. That's awesome, man. I think Dan Lanning's going to call and bring me out to Oregon. And they're right. They probably will. So that's the disappointing thing when you have a great season and the reward is not the reward of the team, but the reward is, hey, we're all going to go get paid. That's extra concerning for college sports there. Now, I am not going to shed any tears for the Beef O'Brady's Bowl and the Independence Bowl and all these. Like, the whole system was bloated anyway. Also, the NCAA is reaping what it sows here to a large degree, right? Because you think about the NFL controls when free agency happens. It happens in March and April ahead of the draft to gin up interest in everything, and when the sporting calendar is dead, it livens everything up with excitement. You got the combine, you got free agency, you got the draft, you got all those things. And the NFL is the king of getting people interested in the product at any time. I remember when I worked at the newspaper, one of the years VCU made the NCAA tournament. The lots of years that happened. This one particular, VCU made the NCAA tournament, and I was covering the Skins, and I was something, they had a high pick or something. I was at the combine, like doing combine reports. Those combine reports were being read by more people than the VCU tournament stories. And that's the level of interest the NFL has generated in its product. So obviously they have selfish motives here as well. But also, you've got a situation here where the NFL manages the clock. NCAA is not managing it at all. You could keep the portal closed until the playoffs are over. Day after the national title game, portal opens, everybody go have fun. The reason they don't do that is because the whole thing is ostensibly still tied to kids going to school, which is quaint and silly, and you know, small town stuff Hallmark movies are made of. It's not tethered to reality in any way, but it's, oh, we have to open the portal now so they can enroll for the spring semester. But it's a terrible time because you're also trying to still run this sport. It's a two semester sport, but you got to let the kids go. And you know, I think there's only a matter of time before you're going to see guys switch schools to play in the playoffs somewhere else. Teams go out, recruit playoff guys. Sure feels like we're only one lawsuit away from that happening. But disappointing, the Marshall situation for sure. Army lost to Navy this weekend. That's the only one that mattered to them. They'll still get to play in the bowl game. Hopefully still get a nice swag bag. We got JMU bowl football this week as well. So we got a busy week. We got Wednesday night, we got JMU bowl football in Boca Raton with nobody on that roster. A little concerned about that one. They emptied out as well. So certainly at the quarterback position, you're looking at a third, fourth stringer there. So not a lot of optimism, but JMU bowl football can be your second TV on Wednesday night as VCU takes on New Mexico in what's going to be a very big, very significant game. The Commanders have victory Monday, though. That's the thing that matters the most, and that is that they're 9-5. And it wasn't the best performance, and Jaden missed a couple throws that he's going to want back. The O-line wasn't at its best with Biotish out. Chase Young decided to have a good day for once in his career. That was frustrating to watch. I don't think it's anything that has long-term concern other than to say that team that played yesterday, they're not going to win a playoff game playing like that. They got some stuff to shore up, but they got some time to shore it up. That's the benefit of being 9-5. Two-game cushion on the Rams. Things are looking up for a playoff appearance for the Commanders right now. We'll cover it all in hour number two. What's the Monday edition? It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
1FM. Hour number two. We're also in the Odyssey app, free worldwide, and podcasts, MP on the mic. Here's the thing. All right. So when I started today's show, I didn't want to make a big deal out of the clock thing. It's Victory Monday for the Commanders, by the way, 2019 over the Saints. I didn't want to make a big deal about the clock thing for a lot of reasons, but as I reflect, as we do the show, I'm feeling differently. I've had some time to reflect, to grow, to become a bigger and better person who happens to be angrier about this issue. I did make a mental note. I want to get into the secondary stuff with Marshawn Lattimore back. I think that's important. I want to get to that in a second. And, of course, everything else around the game as well. And, you know, everything else in the NFL. We'll get to all that. We'll make time for VCU basketball. It's a Victory Monday for them as well. But the main topic here. The clock situation. So the Saints run a play, and with 9 seconds left, the clock stops. And it shouldn't have. They caught the pass inbounds. This isn't college. Clock doesn't stop on first downs. That's not how it works. The referee signals to stop the clock, and it stops for, by some accounts, 3 to 4 seconds. Now, I believe that the Saints probably would have been allowed to clock it with time left on the clock. That's my hunch on what was going to happen here. So I don't think it tangibly impacted the end of the game. That I may be on an island in that. But it was clearly done incorrectly. The referee signaled to stop the clock. It did stop. It was started again a few seconds later. It shouldn't have happened. The Saints got the spike with 3 seconds left. They got the play. They scored the touchdown. Spencer Rattler was dealing, man. Spencer Rattler was the most accurate quarterback on that field yesterday, and that's its own issue, and we'll dive into that. Our Commanders Rewind tomorrow. There's some stuff we got to talk about with Jade. But one of the reasons I kind of reflexively didn't want to spend a lot of time on the clock stopping was because a lot of this comes back to gambling now, and you know my belief on this, which is I don't believe it's rigged. I don't believe it's fixed. I think the refs are just bad. And that holds up normally. I thought yesterday's refs were particularly bad, especially in some key situations, to the point where you would say it was a bad NFL officiating crew, right? Outside of the gambling, because the gambling stuff, people, you know, millions of dollars changes hands. I get that. And those people get mad. I get why they're mad, that it's rigged, it's whatever. Again, I don't think it's rigged. I just think they're bad at their jobs. But when you've got something like this, this is not run-of-the-mill. You know, a lot of stuff people get mad about, pass interference, roughing the passer. Nobody knows what roughing the passer is. If you look at the quarterback funny, it's roughing the passer now. It's a soft leak. That's the way it works. So I can't get, there were some calls yesterday. You can't get too mad about roughing the passer calls for that reason. You know they're coming. You know they're going to get called. So it's not, I'm not ever going to get particularly worked up beyond everybody's so intent that we have to have replay for everything. And then we don't fix the one thing that arguably replay would be semi-useful in litigating, which would be a bang, bang, roughing the passer play. That's not the soapbox for today. The thing is, right, if you had Commanders -7, you ended up being a loser here because the Saints scored and the Saints ended up only losing by one. And so those people are mad because they lost money. I think we got to be mad because the NFL deserves to give us a better product here. Here's my promise to you. I'm never going to get in here and go flaming hot take on, oh, could you believe that roughing the passer? Because there's gray area there. The rule is gray area, and everybody knows the quarterbacks are going to get irrationally protected. Most of the quarterbacks, at least. Some of them don't get irrationally protected. That's its own issue. But something like this. The ball was caught inbounds It was spotted for play. There was nothing irregular that happened. Nobody got hurt. He wasn't close enough to a touchdown that it could have plausibly been a touchdown or needed a review. That was just regular run-of-the-mill officiating. And that's what bothered me about this one. It was the wrong call, and it went against the Commanders. But also, it was an easy call. And that was the pool report after the game was, yeah, we made a mistake. Could you have fixed it? No, replay doesn't allow us to fix it. So what happened there? That's all I got for you. We made a mistake. It was a big mistake, though, in a key moment, in a game that has plenty to talk about. We don't have to devote a lot of time to this, but it needs to be said. It was bad. It did not meet the NFL standard for officiating. The number of former athletes they crank out every year, the number of resources, amount of resources they have. You think about quarterbacks now using the VR headsets, and I know Adam loves it when we talk about that. AWOD Radio, noon to 3 today from Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. AWOD loves that. Can we use the VR set to train the refs? Sure feels like something we could do. Sure feels like should be an available option for us. Something other than this, because that was bad. It did not meet NFL standards. It didn't meet college football standards. If that had happened on a high school field, I wouldn't have yelled at the refs because they're high school refs and they're making like 2 cents to officiate the games. But I would have thought, dang, that's kind of embarrassing that the ref allowed that to happen. It should not be allowed to happen in an NFL football game. Should not be allowed to swing postseason playoff possibilities for a team. It was bad. And I think the NFL is lucky that it happened in this game and that the Saints didn't get the 2-point conversion. It didn't cost anybody a postseason berth, and that it didn't happen in the Lions-Bills game with America watching, because then I think we've got a full-fledged national controversy. So they got lucky, but they need to fix it. The refs are not being properly trained, being properly vetted, being properly graded in what they do. The NFL owes it to us to provide that. And I get that the owners are cheap and the owners have always been cheap. But this is an area of the game where you need to spend on VR headsets to train them, on symposiums to train, fly them to nice places, fly them to the Ritz, fly them to, it's a billion-dollar enterprise. We need to do better with training the referees. Happy Victory Monday, everybody. Kind of a weird Victory Monday, right? 20-19, a lot to clean up. Certainly a game against the red-hot Philadelphia Eagles coming on the other side, which I don't think a lot of people have a ton of optimism for. But also, Commanders got to 9 yesterday. We're working 9-5 right now. And this is a team that is in really good playoff position. The Rams are chasing them. They got 2 games on the Rams. And that's with 3 to play, that should be enough. That feels like enough. It should mean that if you take care of business in one of these remaining 3, you're good. The Rams would have to go 3-0, and these guys would have to go 0-3 for it to be a done deal here, because 2-1, 2-1 doesn't do it the other way. Now, you could go 3-0. 1-3, sure, but the Rams have the Cardinals and Seahawks in their final 2 weeks. Those are not going to be pushover games. They got the Jets this week. Good for them. We're all happy for them. But those last 2 weeks against the Cardinals and against the Seahawks, they've got tough tests. I do think one more win gets the job done here, and I think there's plenty of potential for that against the Falcons or against the Cowboys here. Other thing I wanted to mention while we're doing Commanders Victory Monday, in the first hour I gave some thoughts about Jaden Daniels. He missed Terry just barely a couple times. Terry was my player of the game by far yesterday, but we didn't talk about the secondary. I want to make sure we do that. Marshawn Lattimore was immediately put in to Benjamin St. Juice's spot, and that was kind of that. There wasn't movement. There wasn't a rotation, right? We'd asked last week, what's the downwind effect of that? There was none. It was just, here's Marshawn Lattimore, and by the way, there is no more Benjamin St. Juice, so that's kind of wild. I thought St. Juice would get more run, even in Lattimore's world, but he didn't. Lattimore got the game ball. I thought he played really well. He was great. It makes me wonder what the long-term St. Juice situation is here, because I had kind of taken it for granted that St. Juice was coming back next year. I like his range. I like his length. He gets too many penalties. What really worked against St. Juice was he comes in the game, bang, gets a penalty right away. That's the part that everybody's going to struggle with, is he's a penalty machine. And what happened? Penalty machine goes out there, and all of a sudden, this is a liability and not an asset. Now, I still like St. Juice a lot, but I also know this. This is an organization that is not afraid to cut bait, and you can ask anybody about that who is around in the Ron Rivera era, because there are not many of them left. You can ask Emmanuel Forbes. You can ask Jamin Davis. Yeah, they don't play around here. They move on quickly. Now, Lattimore didn't get tested too much, but he was an impact player. He was on the field. He brings an extra dimension, and they've been waiting for him, and I think he's going to end up being good. The question is, what do you do with St. Juice now? You throw him in there for a play, he gets a penalty. That's brutal. I like the kid. That's brutal. You can't do that. It feels like they seem content to leave everything as is and just make it a one-for-one substitution and not sub downstream. Your other note there on the defense is the report over the weekend that John Allen may come back next year, and that would before the end of the year or into 25, this January 25. That would be huge if they got Allen back. Payne's playing yesterday, playing at a high level. This is a defense that's getting better as we approach crunch time of the season here, because 19 points is, if you hold them to 19, I think your offense is going to deliver more often than not. Now, talking about injuries, Tyler Biadasz, clearly a huge injury. The Biadasz injury was major. He was sick. He didn't play. You could see the difference out there. Without him, the offensive line was not nearly as good, and that's something they're going to have to keep an eye on, because I do think Tyler Biadasz is essential personnel out there, what he's done to help transform this offensive line. But it's 9-5 for the Commanders, three left coming in. They are in prime playoff position, have a two-game lead on the Rams, who are chasing them for that playoff spot. So the Rams are going to have to do some heavy lifting down the stretch, looking great. We got Kirk Cousins in primetime tonight. We'll see what he does, and that'll obviously set the table for that game at FedEx Field. But it's possible that game at FedEx Field, which may or may not be headed to primetime, could be to clinch a playoff spot. That's the optimism today. That's the happiness. AY, you'd be proud of me, man. Making sure to focus on the bright side, which is this team could be playing at home to clinch a playoff spot next weekend, which is something to be fired up about for sure. At 30 after, that's in about, how long is that? That's in about 17 minutes from now. I can do math. Unlike Gary Hess, I can do math. I can't do math. 17 minutes from now, we'll talk about victory Monday for VCU basketball as well. They're still out west. They play New Mexico this week. We'll go around the NFL. We'll do all the stuff we do. You're listening to the Monday edition of MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Monday, Victory Monday, MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard for the Victory Monday show for the Commanders for VCU basketball. We'll get to all of it. A little fact check here from earlier. James Madison was the high school that scored with no time left, had the extra point to force overtime, got flagged for an unsportsmanlike conduct, pushed the extra point back. They went for two. They didn't get it. Tough way to lose a state title. Gary Hess, Coach Chris were out there as Verina lost to Phoebus. Game in their all, 9-6 at halftime. Couldn't score in the second half, and that's all right. Victory Monday for VCU basketball, but also the A-10. Monster win this weekend for Dayton over Marquette. Bonnies take down Providence, in addition, of course, to VCU beating Colorado State. That's the stuff postseason bids are made of. Now, here's the problem they're kind of all hovering in the 80s and 90s and the 70s right now, probably the 70s, which is not quite get into the tournament territory, but it gives you the opportunity to take care of business down the stretch, which is the important thing. And obviously for VCU, that includes a big Wednesday night game. You'll hear it right here on The Fan against New Mexico. Should be a ton of fun. We talked about the RFK Stadium thing last week. We'll tie that bow up here. The Washington Post reported over the weekend that the team has agreed to all of Maryland's demands. Maryland's governor hasn't signed, but it's non-binding, and it looks like the Senate has moved on without them. And Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland, said he will not stand in the commander's way as they seek to potentially build at RFK. So it looks like, I told you, you hate to say it's over because something always pops up here, but it looks like the RFK Stadium land will come back to D.C., and then they can begin negotiations with the Commanders, and then we can talk about a new stadium for the Washington Commanders, which, of course, is way overdue. NFL yesterday, I mean, we're kidding ourselves if we say the biggest story is anything but Patrick Mahomes limping off the field at the end of that Chiefs win over the Browns. He'd been battling that ankle injury for a little while, especially so because they've got two games bang bang on tap here. They've got the Saturday game against Houston and then the Christmas game. And that's these are big money makers for the NFL. Obviously, Mahomes is a big deal, but also, you know, they're still playing for the bye. They're two up on Buffalo. They've got 13 wins. Buffalo's got 11 right now, but Buffalo's got the tiebreaker, so they can only afford to lose one down the stretch. Now, that means to me, if you can sit Mahomes for one of these next two, I think you have to. You don't want him gutting it out in the regular season for no reason. If you can get him a bye week now, the short week against the Steelers, and then you've got a long break, and then if you can hold off everybody else for the bye, you're in a really good spot. You know, he's not playing a ton of football that month, but if you're trying to rush him out for two more, bang, bang, that's where this gets tricky. And everybody's kind of catching up on what we told you in the summer, which is, yeah, this is a brutal stretch of football for everybody involved, the Steelers and the Chiefs, but also Houston and Baltimore. You've got some big decisive games, Steelers-Ravens this weekend, huge game, deciding home field advantage in the playoffs. You want those games played on full rest. You don't want those games played in a way that kind of makes a mockery out of football. Because I think that's ultimately what this is going to be. But the Chiefs are too clear of everybody in the bye race. They're 13-1. They're the best team in football right now. Detroit took the second loss. That frees the Chiefs up to have the best record in football. And of course, they're the prohibitive Super Bowl favorites, but it's all about Mahomes' ankle now. We'll be monitoring that all week. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he doesn't play one of these next two, because it's too quick to ask him to bounce back. And if you don't give him the time to do it properly, bad things are going to happen later. Cowboys finally get theirs. I think we can all be fine with the Cowboys getting theirs now as they play their way out of draft position. They're 6-8 right now. They're going to float their way back to 8-8, have themselves a nice .500 season. Again, I reiterate my advice to Jerry Jones. No need to do anything crazy. No need to shake things up. Mike McCarthy, man, he's still got the locker room. Best thing to do, just run that back for another year. Sincerely, all your friends here at 910 The Fan, home of the Commanders. Don't do anything rash. Don't do anything crazy. Important thing is just to bring Mike McCarthy back for another year of football as they take care of the Panthers. I think the other storyline this year, how many bad teams there are at the bottom. We really have more bad football teams than normal in the NFL this year. Normally there's a few. There could be a four-win team that picks seventh in this year's draft, and that's insane. May not happen in the end, but that's absolutely insane to me. That shouldn't happen. There are way more bad teams than there have ever been. The other thing is, I don't think a lot of them are deliberately tanking either. Carolina's not tanking. They just happen to be bad. The Giants certainly started the season needing to win to keep everything in line there. Daniel Jones was playing for his job. They weren't tanking. The Raiders, with interim coach Antonio Pierce, not tanking, just bad. Tennessee, Will Levis, they weren't tanking. They are now. And then Jacksonville, of course, with Trevor Lawrence, they think their window's open. So you got a ton of bad football team. Cleveland Browns, Cleveland just a mess. The Patriots, I think we all knew would be bad. And the Jets, of course. The Jets aren't tanking. Jets had Aaron Rodgers. Jets were all in. They're pushing the chips to the middle of the table. That's particularly insane to me that the Jets at 4-10 are not one of the worst teams in football right now, that there are so many below them that it's a bad year or it's a good year for bad teams. There's a lot of bad football being played in the NFL up and down, and we're going to have some significant games here down the stretch deciding draft position. If the draft were tomorrow, the Jets would pick eighth with their four wins. They're not in the running right now for one of those top spots. It's a very competitive place. We'll hear from the Raiders tonight, of course, against the Falcons. They can keep pace with the Giants for that number one pick. Right now, they're the only two teams sitting on two wins. If the Raiders do beat the Falcons tonight, we got major Kirk Cousins issues, and I think Michael Penix will be starting when they come to D.C. in a couple of weeks. That said, my pick is absolutely that the Falcons get right, that they take care of business, and that we see Captain Kirk here in a game with significant postseason implications, because they're all significant now. Tampa's 8-6. Atlanta's got to keep pace. They've got the tiebreaker, but they've got to find a way to keep pace, because Tampa got a very nice win in Los Angeles yesterday. Buccaneers beating the Chargers, putting up a 40 spot out there in L.A. While the big window is going on with Bills, Lions, and Eagles, Steelers, the Buccaneers were quietly putting together some nice wins there, and it looks like they are, if not the favorites over Atlanta, at least in control their destiny position here, because they didn't have the tiebreaker. But even if Atlanta wins tonight, the Buccaneers are still going to be one game up on them. Kirk Cousins has some work to do, and he may have to do it in land over here in a couple of weeks in a potential primetime game, because I think that's a game that is drawing some interest right now. Bengals at 6-8, they're floating back to 500. Looks like everything will stay status quo there. Ravens steamrolled the Giants. Ravens setting up that big game against Pittsburgh this weekend. I don't think that was the Steelers' A game, but I think the Eagles have taken a lot of teams off their A game this year. I go back and forth on whether the Steelers are legit Super Bowl contenders. I think the Ravens are. I haven't figured out if the Steelers are or not. They're very good, but it's a division of great teams. The Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens, I mean, you got to really be good to be a contender in the AFC this year. Look at what the Bills are doing. Even at 11-3, even two back of the Chiefs, the Bills are absolutely a Super Bowl threat and a Super Bowl contender. And I love the Giants the Lions putting on the points at the end. Make it 48-42. Make that final score tidied up. Make it a little respectable. VCU victory Monday as well. We'll dive into that. We'll crosstalk with our guy Awad before the hour's over. He'll take over. Grant and Danny, who's talking, our usual Monday lineup here. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.